Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The Asian Avengers, so weak.
The Asian Avengers, so weak, so fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa! There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Quick shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Radio. Check out those guys on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. Also, if you're listening on your phones right now, please take a screenshot and post it on Instagram stories and tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod.
Woo-hoo!
And tell me the longest amount of time you have gone without doing a little...
What is that?
Little. Yep.
You also got to tell us what that is.
Yeah. Yep. Whatever that means
whatever
to
that
you.
Means
whatever
to
that
you.
Means to you, I want to know. I want to know how long
and then I want you
you've
to.
Gone without doing that.
Yeah.
What about, let's answer that ourselves. I think the longest I've gone without would be maybe like 5 days. 5 days.
Are we talking about?
Well, I don't know. You don't know what I'm talking about. So I could be feeding a dog.
Every 5 days.
Every 5 days.
Gotta feed a dog.
Yeah, what about you, Mike? Go ahead.
Man. Oh, man. It's probably, I would say, a few hours.
But I don't know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
So it could be...
It could be anything.
You could be, like, doing laundry in the river. You know, that's... like those old Asian fables.
Like in Turkmenistan, where I'm from.
Yeah. So, anyways, please do that. That always helps. Today's theme is perception. Our guest is just straight up reading a book.
It's amazing.
Next to us. It's amazing. Can't wait to have her on. Yes, I want to start with this thing that happened to me recently.
Yes.
And I got a little emo about it, you know? I've been having a lot of these emo moments recently. So I was doing
getting a lot of emo moments.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It makes me sensitive, man.
You're like a big crier, actually.
I cried the other day. Remember
you
that?
You did. We
said goodbye to our video guy.
Our video guy... you know, we're still working with him, but like he's moving to LA and gave us a nice card and Fumi cried.
I cried.
I felt nothing, but no, it was very nice.
It was very nice. Yeah.
But yeah, what's going on?
So what happened is I was at this show, right? And I'm hanging out with some comics and you know, everything's pretty normal. But then there's a new comedian that came up to us and he was kind of weird, but you know, we're just being nice.
Yep.
And at the end of the conversation, he asked me and this other comedian to follow him on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
And I was
yeah.
like, that's kind of weird. I don't want to do that. But I was like, yeah, sure, dude. And then I just like faked it. I like followed him from my... I have three accounts. I have a fake one where I test video posts to make sure they're fitting right.
Uh-huh.
So I follow him from that one. Anyways, I'm such an asshole. Anyways, so I did that. And then when he left, I had this I was talking to this other comedian about what had just happened.
Yeah.
And we felt like violated in a weird way. And then she said like, she was like... She legit said, she was like, I'm not going to fuck up my ratio for that.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, totally. And then I was walking home. I'm like, what kind of conversation was that? Mm. You know, what like a weird, empty thing that I would have made fun of anybody who talked like that 5 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
But like if a quote unquote regular person said
that
to you,
yeah.
you'd be like, what?
I used to shit on people who were obsessed with social media and
for
stuff.
Sure.
But here I am just like citing... with the, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that person who said that because I felt the same way.
Yeah.
But it was like now some like a sentence like that is like within the realm of what I might say throughout the day. Mm. I'm not gonna fuck up my ratio for this. Like that's something I legit care about, and it was very conflicting because, you know, social media is social media. But
you know what's funny though too though is that our ratio is terrible.
Our ratio is bad.
It's really bad because of our strategy.
Oh my god! Wait, can't tell people about our strategy.
But
it's a secret.
It's a secret. But yeah.
It's not so bad now. But it used
it's
to
not
be
so
bad
now. But yeah. like
it used to be bad
for a while. It was like you know it was what is the ratio supposed to be? Is it supposed
I
to be
don't like, know. That's that number. I don't know.
Like ideally, it's supposed to be like 4 million to 1 or something.
Kanye has the best one. He follows only one person, and it's his wife.
Oh okay.
Yeah,
I thought it'd be funny if he followed like I don't know, just like
Bill Cosby.
Just follows like, you know, do some Burger like King. Though. You know what I'm saying? Love burgers.
They got great fries. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. But I think like this conversation is relevant to people who don't even do comedy because perception is reality. And like that's the first thing I learned in the workplace. You know, it doesn't matter. All those articles out there like Forbes 30 under 30 for advertising, all that shit.
Yep.
You read that and you're like, wow, these guys are killing it.
Yeah.
But you don't realize like you're probably doing the same shit they are doing.
Right.
You know, if you work in advertising or if that's your field. Right. So I don't know. But it's just I was very sad that I had come to this point in my life where like I have to care about that stuff, you know.
Yeah. Well, now we're like, you know, you're a business.
Exactly.
It's Fumi, we literally are an LLC.
Yeah, we have an LLC. So, but it's like, how far do you go for content? Is also the thing I was thinking of, because like at least on Twitter and stuff, sometimes I will like kind of make fun of my friends from the Midwest. I'll make them the butt of the joke for the likes, because I have to keep acting. I have to keep participating in comedy so people don't forget who I am. And sometimes I just don't have anything funny to say, so I'll just like amplify a situation and basically just lie for the likes.
Isn't it freaky when... you know the you know like in a movie where like the guy like looks in the mirror, like washes his face and like looks in the mirror and is like, yeah, who are you?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm serious. I feel that way all the time
because like, it's like who are your friends? Who aren't your friends?
Yeah, exactly. And like,
you know,
have I even stopped to consider what they think about those tweets?
Right, exactly.
No, because it's like it got 17 likes, not even a lot, but good for me. You know, so it's like, who is this for?
You flushed away your friendship for 17 likes. You're fucking Judas, man.
I know.
You know, with the coins.
Yeah. But anyways, I wanted to bring in our guest to talk about a little bit about this today.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to have her on. She has, I don't know this. She opened for Alana Glazer.
That's amazing.
That's really cool. I'm going to ask her about that later. And she's written for MTV, Reductress. She's appeared in sketches on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
And yes, and she is extremely well prepared.
Yes.
For
she legit brought
she
notes.
Has a note. Not okay, so comedians, we all have like little shitty notebooks. I got my little shitty joke book.
Yeah,
she has a one of those big college ruled.
Yeah.
Who is our guest?
Our guest today is Faria Khan.
Thank you, boys. Thank you so much.
Hey, you got the kind where it's perforated so you can tear it out.
Yeah. I don't tear it. I actually, I go through about one of these every 2 months.
What? For comedy or for everything?
I really write about my feelings every single day.
That's wonderful.
Whoa.
You keep it. So how many of these do you have, these journal things?
Honestly, I think like I have this box in my room right now where I have journals from like the last 5 years. I don't know how many are.
I thought people say they journal to sound cool. I didn't know people did that.
Dude, honestly, it's become my main savior in the mess of what you were just talking about.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, I feel all the things you're saying is like every single day recently what I am struggling with in pursuing this as a career.
Yeah. How long have you been doing comedy for?
I've been in New York 5 years doing it, and then before that, about like another year.
Okay, cool.
In Virginia, DC.
Yeah.
Do you think this came about because you're hitting that like 5 year mark? Because we were talking about that last week, where it's like when you hit 5 years, I think that's when you like have your comedy chops, or like whatever you do. If you're like a finance person, you know, you like after 5 years, you officially are a valuable employee to whatever industry.
You got some experience,
sure.
Right?
I have enough experience. Right. Like, but then you also
you're competent.
But that's when you start noticing like, just kind of like, oh, what are my friends doing? Like, you kind of start seeing the system a little bit differently.
Well, I also wonder if it's like because you become that person in the system yourself.
Whoa, Matrix. Whoa. What do you mean?
Like, all right, what? Like, I think, like, okay, in the beginning of me doing comedy, all I wanted was to just do comedy.
Yeah, just
like,
be funny.
I was
go
like,
on stage, be
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, I wanted to
that's the best
be
part.
A comedian.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have. You know, like the first like 2 to 3 years, it felt awkward to say I am a comedian.
Right. Yeah.
I used to say I do comedy. Like I did felt
I
like
to do
too
this.
Huge.
I used to say exactly
it
I
felt
do
too
comedy.
Huge to
I'm
say
a
I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
And then I think in the last couple years, I found that like, you know, it just things. I got to that place where I'm like, oh, I'm confident enough to say I'm a comedian.
Right.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
You know, like. I used to work in advertising. I quit that job to work like an easier job. And that was also like a shift to focusing on like what I really wanted, which was comedy.
Yeah.
It's like my whole life started to shift and shift and shift. So I could like do comedy because that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Like deep down. And I kept like finding ways to do it. So now the last 2 years has been like really me in it in this deep way that I wasn't before with like anything in my life. Like I always wanted to be an artist and it took me so long being an Asian person, you know,
yeah,
like to get to that place. And then the last 2 years have been, I think like what I've always wanted since I was like a child, you know, to be like an artist in New York doing it and doing having it. Like a craft that I can claim that I'm like working on.
Right.
And that I'm not, and I'm no longer just at the very beginning of, I'm still at the beginning of but course. Like not the very, very beginning.
Yeah. You're starting to feel like you're ashamed. Living it. Yeah. You're living the life. I think for a long time, you know, I was always afraid, like if I said I was a writer or a comedian or something, somebody would be like, really, are you?
Right.
And now I'm like, for sure. You know,
It's like
I have the suffering to prove
it.
Yeah, and you have
stuff you can show them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have a fucking set. You have a stand-up set. Like, so I think what's interesting is like, it's almost as if like my dreams became my reality in a way. In like a small time way. Like I'm not, you know, some big deal, but it's like I'm doing comedy.
You're doing it.
I do
You're doing
shows.
It. Yeah.
That is my dream. And
but all this sounds good though.
But yeah, this is a good thing.
Okay, so I think what's complicated is like once that became like no longer the thing I was chasing after, and then it just became, oh, now I am doing shows like pretty much every night. I am a comedian that I feel like I'm part of the community, blah blah blah, all this shit. It's like this whole new set of problems arose that I did not expect.
For sure.
Anticipate.
Like the social media thing.
Okay, yeah. Like, I never wanted to be someone who gave a shit about social media. Now I care way too much, and I am addicted, and I hate how much I'm on my phone.
It's the game, yeah.
And, like, I compare myself so much to everyone else's careers, and, like, you know, because sometimes you'll see people and they pop off real fast, or you don't even know what people have been through to get where they are, and, like, I'll be like, well, I'm not doing that. And here's the other thing. First off, I think it's multifold. There's the definition of success in our society that we all have, okay, which is based on, it's ultimately tied to financial success, and in a more subtle and social way, tied to like status.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I would
also
add too that we love like especially America, but I think everyone. Yeah. But it's like also if you can do it and you're like really young.
Yeah, they love the protege. Is that the word?
Prodigy. Who's just like, you know, who?
Oh, he did all this, and he's only 22.
Yeah, he's only 22,
they
and he's also a millionaire.
That.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah,
but like,
yeah.
You know
that is the story. That's like the sexy story.
Yeah, and you always compare yourself. That's like the thing.
And
you
it's
wish
unfair
you had.
To compare yourself to that person because also that person's not talking about how like they come from money or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's so many parts of that story that we don't know.
For sure.
Okay, so then besides the definition of success and that whole idea of status, there's also the fact that show business is almost unbearably difficult.
It's so
to
crazy.
Penetrate.
Yeah.
Like the amount that you work to then fail and get rejected, like, I'm just more and more and more, I'm like, okay, it's just not normal. like most people don't have to deal with this. Most other careers are linear and do have more safety nets intact. Like, you can do so much free work and you can still be struggling. You can make an amazing movie and still not have a job. Mm-hmm. You can be doing shows every night and then still
and
not
nothing
get
happens.
Yeah, like it's like very, very difficult.
That was like the craziest thing is you're like to your point, like when you first start comedy or whatever it is, you're so excited to be there, and then you have your idols, and then you do it for like 5 years and you meet those idols
and you meet them
and then you find out that like they also don't have money or like they ask you for a job and you're like, what the fuck, you're my superhero, why are you asking me for career
and
advice?
Struggling
they're
in
still
ways
struggling.
That you didn't even know. Like it is like this whole mind like that's where I'm at. I'm like 5 years in, like just like at that mind fuck state of like, oh my God, dude. It's like never ending. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I do remember like growing up, like, you know, I have immigrant parents and they're like really great, but they're also like very practical. And they're like, oh, you want to be an artist? So you want to be homeless. That's what my dad always, that was always my dad's line.
That's a good joke though.
It's a good joke. He's actually like a really funny guy.
I should follow him on Twitter.
He's not on Twitter, but
his ratio is so good.
He's killing. He actually like blows up. Gets
That'd
famous.
Be so funny. Go ahead. Yeah.
He's but the best. I love my dad. But but then I would always be like, and that's like those types of statements is why it took me so long to, I'm like 30 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I like started this late. It's like, I missed being a prodigy of being like, oh, I'm 22. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But like, like those statements is what, it made it.
Yeah.
It took me a longer time. And then now that I'm here, it's like on one level, I feel personal fulfillment on a deep level. Like,
yeah.
I am, when I look back on what I wanted as a child,
yeah.
it was literally to, like, be funny, make stuff, get to be an artist, get to make cool stuff with other people, like, have my own original voice, and that's what the thing is. Like, that's what the art is. And I'm doing all of that, but then I'm, like, very unsure about my future, and there's so much uncertainty that sometimes, and at various points, has weighed on me so much. It's been, like, psychologically not okay.
Okay, here, I'm just playing devil's advocate, but do you think this, you know, you were talking about earlier about how, oh, you see people succeeding online or whatever, and you're like,
yeah.
what, I want that safety. Do you think that that's, like, an amateur way of thinking about it? Because the truth is, there is never safety.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think, I do that's, think that's, it's
why
naive.
Like, those, that's why
I
we're in those, this.
I actually yeah. do think it's naive, but I also think I'm deeply insecure, and that's also
but
like
but
the
that's, thing. But that's everybody.
You're doing your thing.
Yeah, I'm doing my thing, but I have like
that's
all
amazing.
This childhood shit. Don't you guys have that?
We did.
Come on, Fumi.
No,
I don't,
childhood
this is
shit.
This is what happens when you talk to straight dudes. They call emotions being emo. Like Fumi's experience of being emotions is like I've been so emo.
I
know
think it's
for
great.
A fact. Okay,
I think it's great, but I think. You're really hard on yourself.
I am really
you're super
hard
on
myself.
Yourself.
Yeah.
But I think too, that's we were just talking about when you meet your heroes,
right?
And then you find out that like it's not. But
yeah.
I think that's actually really awesome.
It was very disarming. Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, it's everyone is climbing up the hill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's and I always think too with comedy is that we're about to get into the capitalism thing because you got your books out.
Yeah, I got books. I got some notes, yeah.
I think it's like a trap
uh-huh.
of
yes,
the system.
It is a trap.
To
that's
make us all
exactly
compete against each other because actually, and I've always tried to remind myself of this, the more successful other people are in your circle, the more successful you are.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's like,
true.
You know what I'm saying? Like if Fumi blows up or you blow up,
right.
that's good for me.
Yeah. You're saying because it makes you want to work harder or because I may give
maybe
you a job?
All of
both.
That.
All
maybe
of that.
All of that.
The whole
yeah, even just being around that.
Just being around it, you know.
Because it reminds you to kind of keep going.
It reminds you to keep going. You get stuff from that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like your network of people, you know, is really what you are and how much you're worth.
I think also like doing this and feeling, yeah, like I guess I am really hard on myself in a way that does suck, but like I think it brought up, I was like, oh, I didn't realize how anxious I am or how depressed I am.
Were you always like sort of anxious or like depressed?
I think when I look back on it, yeah, but again, being Asian, no one told me.
But so here's, but yeah, that's the thing is that like now you got this thing where your parents were kind of put all these things in you and then you were never like it took you a long time to come to the decision that you are an artist. And then also like, I think it takes a long time for people to realize, oh, I have some real serious problems, like you know,
seriously, 100%, dude. I have problems.
You know,
I'm in therapy.
And we're going to therapy, helps, and all those things.
I'm
you know?
Journaling every
journaling.
Day.
Journaling. Look at this.
And I
this
just is laughed like at your what pain.
I know. Thank you, Fumi, and we have talked about our pain together. So
we have. Have we?
We a little
sometimes
bit.
Sometimes when I drink, I open up to people, and I don't like it.
I know.
And,
see, this is why.
But
I know.
That's the thing. Is
this
that
is why I know you. This is straight dudes. They like can't be. This is a patriarchy. This
It is. It everything is like divided.
Yeah.
Like so.
You're not allowed to show your emotions. It sucks.
With capitalism, the way for capitalism to work is everyone needs to be an individual.
Yeah.
Because if you pool your
that
resources,
that is exactly what I came here to talk about.
You like because you can sell more stuff if everyone lives alone.
But
oh, fuck!
And the more you isolate people, which is what social media effectively does,
the more
people are looking for connection, so they go to their phones.
Yes.
But then it's like this false reality like, I'm going on there, I'm sad, I'm lonely, I'm like worried about my career, I'm looking at what everyone else has. It only exasperates that.
Yes.
I feel like I need to do more, buy more, be more.
Yes.
You know, like that's capitalism.
Yes,
more.
Okay. This is a great transition into.
Yeah.
The Gia Tolentino video I sent you guys. So she wrote a whole fucking book. But
She's so smart.
I tried to send you the article, but they didn't have it online because I guess you have to buy the book or whatever.
Right.
Oh, I see.
And I didn't feel like scanning it and sending it to you like a college professor. So I just sent
it's
you guys
really
the video.
It's a really long essay anyway.
Yeah.
It's weird that I got into comedy and now I have like a reader I have to do. You know what I'm saying? Like like I'm in college.
Yeah,
like,
I give you assignments.
To be honest, that makes me respect you more. If you're not doing the reading, it's
you gotta put stuff
you're
in your
out
head.
There talking about shit. It's like, come on.
You do need to read.
So the essay was called The Eye in the Internet. And it's basically about how internet is creating like a culture of self-defense. deception, and she gets out a lot of different things. But the main thing I got from it is, which is what you guys are kind of hitting on, is like, your identity is being monetized now,
yes.
and it's having a negative effect on our life and society. So what that really means is, in order for these companies like Facebook and Twitter to make more money, they need you to be on their app longer so they can get more data on you, so they can sell that, right?
For sure.
But to get them to stay on you longer, because inherently Instagram and Twitter is not that fun, but for them to get me on here longer is by inciting my anger.
Right.
And so now I feel like I have like personal stakes in whatever's going on.
It's inciting this feeling of inadequacy.
Yeah, so see, it comes in different shapes, right? There's that, and there's also this whole like call out culture thing. There's also showing me like ridiculous tweets by racist ass people to make me go, "What is going on?"
And I just keep
swiping. It's all part of the algorithm, and then it's like all that leads to that weird social interaction I had earlier about thinking about the ratio because I never cared about it.
It's sad to have to think about the ratio, and I don't want to care. Also, as a comedian, like, I do know that, you know, writing jokes on Twitter can help you as a writer, and it's a good
writing
exercise.
That's why I got started, or so I thought.
Right, but like, I'm kind of just like, personally, I don't love doing it. So I kind of am just like not doing Twitter.
I hate
and
Twitter.
Hoping for the best for myself. Mm. Like, I write stand-up jokes, I'm doing jokes, I'm writing whatever, but like, I just, to me, there's something about it that feels ultimately unsatisfying, to be shouting into the void and then get like 2 likes on my tweet about capitalism.
You know what it is that when you do that, you're actually helping, you're a content creator for Twitter. You're actually not making something for yourself. That's one thing that's nice about stand-up is that it is it's like the opposite of a lot of things you were just saying, which is probably why there's not much money in it. But like,
exactly,
because it's
art.
It's live.
Yeah,
it's a connection.
Ephemeral.
It's ephemeral. It cannot be repeated.
It's a craft.
It's a craft. Yeah. It involves. I have this crazy like belief. Well, I don't know. Hope that as people start to realize, like, oh my god, being on the phone is terrible, and I need to like go and see things for real.
Yeah,
that people will actually go to see stand up more. Because
it's the closest thing to
like
a Twitter
live
reaction thing.
And stand-up's so fucking cool, man. It's like, so sad that, because I was talking about this with my therapist. Because I feel like this past year especially, I was getting so like all these feelings of inadequacy, all these things about the internet that were making me feel bad, and it was making me want to turn away from the internet.
Yep.
So while I saw a lot of my peers just like putting stuff out on the internet and things would like catch fire and they'd like blow up.
Yeah.
I was like in this place where I was like, I need distance from this so I can stop comparing myself. So I like just did, I was just like focusing really hard on like stand up and like other stuff that doesn't have to do with like kind of putting myself out there, I guess, that kind of a that way of the way the web does.
Yeah.
And then it's like we talked about it though, and it's like, yeah, but it's just a smaller pool. Like less people see you. Like you have less of a chance to like pop off or get the big
job live shows.
Yeah, it's okay. This is another thing I really took away, because stand up is so amazing, but it's just like it sucks that it's not.
But that's why it's
art. It doesn't lead to like those things, like the way like someone who gets big on Twitter.
That's sort of the thing about you know like art, and there are certain things which are like anti-capitalist.
Yeah,
which art and like
and then
these
it, and
are.
If you are anti-capitalist, you get your un. You get dicked over by the system because you're not able. If you're not participating in the system
the way the system wants you to,
you will not monetarily succeed in the way the system has set up for people. Yeah. Okay, because also the other thing.
Okay,
from
what
the,
did you want to talk about?
The other
this,
thing from the
essay.
Book is like is like the whole thing about you just have to focus so much on yourself. Okay, here's a quote from the book. Okay.
From Gia Tiolatino's book.
Yeah.
Trick Mirror.
Yes, this is from her book.
And this is from her essay.
This is from the essay, The Eye on the Internet. Okay. Capitalism has no land left to cultivate but the self. Everything is being cannibalized, not just goods and labor, but personality and relationships and attention. It's like attention economy.
Yeah.
Everything is about how much attention you can capture, and that shit makes me feel so fucking bad about myself.
Why do you feel bad about it?
Yeah.
Are you guys not hard on yourselves?
No. I understand. I completely understand.
Well, okay, let's
what
unpack
about.
It.
Well, no, I feel okay. So I feel like I have systems in order to counteract these things.
Yeah.
But
like hanging out with your wife.
Yes, hanging out with my wife. This sounds.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's still funny how you were saying like you know capitalism will punish you for doing things because like things that you do which are not like, which are essentially for yourself,
yeah,
make you feel like, because capitalism is like, oh, why are you doing, why are you taking care of yourself when you could be hanging out at this awesome party? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's capitalism. And I also wonder if maybe this has just always been a thing. Because another thing I noticed is in this year where I've been like turning inward to feel like better is like, I also just journal a lot, and
that's
but then which is good for me and like helping me figure out myself. But then it's like I'm not putting out as much. It's almost like my writing is like a lot of it is going into my journal, which maybe that could pay off later. Yeah. Maybe like that's gonna pay off in some artistic way.
But see, you thinking about, oh, I'm doing all this work, but nobody's seeing it. That makes me feel bad.
So that's
the system.
That is the system.
That's crazy.
Right.
That
I know. Like,
why can't you just do this?
Yeah. I journal and I do stand up, but it doesn't feel like enough.
I always feel that. We were just talking about this, is that on Twitter, you got to be like a personality, like a certain thing, you know, that you talk about the same things over and over again. And like, you know, for me, it would, because what I really want to talk about is like income inequality.
That's what I want to
talk about. And I really
want to
talk about climate change. And I really
real shit.
Yeah,
I want to complex.
You get one like from Freya.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's just
like nobody likes
liking each other's shit.
But nobody likes
until
our,
we die. Yeah.
But then everybody likes, you know, like if I tweet about boba or something like that. Hey, I love boba. Probably bad for the economy.
Yeah, I had like one tweet go viral, and it's like it's never the one that you think it is.
No,
it's like this random.
But do you think that okay? So I always call Twitter, like, to me, every Twitter account is a TV channel, and the people with the most followers have the best, they have defined their TV channel the most.
So I agree.
So like I don't know, like what's that guy Bob Voloff or whatever? He's so funny. His taste is so distinct that I could almost tweet as him.
Yeah, you know, like you can do the you could do a bot for him.
And so but that's similar to me saying like, oh, I could pitch a show for the Animal Planet. That's exactly what that is. It's like, cause you're channel is so specific and distinct that I can,
but like it's almost like if you don't participate in that, you're missing out on
but it's like, but that's one form. I think that environment created that art form, and so yes, there are a lot of bad things on social media, but that kind of comedy did not exist before, and I think that part's kind of cool.
So like but I think to your point, you know, these things, it could be a very beautiful thing if you're creating, but then the focus isn't really on creating, it's on going viral.
Yeah.
So then you get the whole thing where you're like, you feel like you're by yourself and you're,
it's
you know,
a lonely
you're comparing
experience.
Yourself.
It's lonely. I think the bad parts of this career can be like really lonely. And like, that's what I'm like confronting now.
Yeah. Yeah.
As like an adult.
What do you
woman.
Think about, there's this thing that she said on here that I liked that was, and you know, I think Mike has talked about this, but on the internet, everybody, if for some reason, everybody's opinion is valued equally.
The
thing is, like, you know, for example,
that's really like
for
the
example,
whole thing about
somebody
America,
just
I mean, right
somebody
now.
Just commented on our video. You guys suck, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought it was funny, but but like, you know, we've had like weird shit commented on us, and like we take it like very seriously without even looking into like who is this person. Also, let's go back and think, like, when was the last time you commented on a YouTube video?
Oh, dude.
Right?
Well,
what kind of person
who's
comments on
time?
A video?
That was me when I was 12.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, but all these, like, you're so mad, it's inciting so many emotions that you don't even sit back and go, like, well, this is clearly a crazy person. Like, what? I don't even know you. Why would you comment on my video?
Yeah, like, we don't need, like, one time I posted, or I was in an MTV video, and someone commented, she has a loaf body.
That's
kind of stuck with me. I was like, it sucks how accurate
that is. Loaf of bread?
Yeah, I think he said my body looks like a loaf of bread.
What is that bad?
Yeah, it sounds pretty bad.
I don't even
like
get that
the
joke.
The shape of it is like a loaf of bread.
Like vertically?
I mean, I sort of thought I was more kind of like more of a pudgy kind of thick, you know.
See, this is what's amazing is that like the capitalist platform, like it, you know, it brings out some of the worst, but then when it gets to you, you're an artist, and so you like convert it into something good.
Right.
Just now.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about your
I
low
made
butt.
Fun
yeah,
of
it was
that.
So funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also it's like, yeah, like it's like nice to get to, that's the whole thing of comedy. It's cathartic to make fun of the shit. And that is at its essence, when you strip away numbers, fame, whatever, that is at its essence like why people love comedy. And it's also a little bit confusing because when numbers and fame and shit start to get into it and egos start to get into it and there's like social dynamics that like the social dynamics of comedy really suck too. You know, when you're like at a comedy party and you can see like who talks to you and who doesn't. And who they're nice to.
I hate comedy parties. Wait, wait,
you know, like,
wait.
That's
wait.
What I'm talking about.
We gotta explain this to our audience.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before. So, right. I mean, this has this has gotta happen in other industries too.
I think it must happen in every
of course.
Industry.
Well, no, it happens in high school.
It's
high school over and over and over.
It's just high school.
But comedy is high school.
Who comedy is high school? Your job is high school.
I mean, like, oh, like, cause you can see. I mean, I can even see from when I first started and nobody knew who I was and nobody talked to me to there would be certain things that happened and then certain people started
so
to
wait,
suddenly
how,
pay attention
to
me.
What do you think about that? Because that's happened to us recently. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's incredibly complicated. I mean, it feels... This is, again, I'm having this lonely experience of feeling really fucking bad about myself all the time, comparing myself about my career. Then I like go out to like some comedy party and I'm already dealing with these like insecurities and feelings of inadequacy, and then like certain people won't talk to me, but certain people like do hang out with other certain people that are famous. And
do you think they're purposely not talking to you, or they just didn't see you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I said hi to someone the other day, and they just looked, or they said hi, and then they walked away. And I went out of my way to be like, hey, you know, like way excited.
That used to happen to me at open mics
all
the time.
You're great.
All right, thanks, Mike. I love you, dude. But look, that's not what it's about. Like, okay, look, that is nice. Like, maybe we should all hang out and say that to each other more often. But I'll say, like, when there's those random nights where I'm, like, out there by myself or something, and, like, I don't know, like, I can fall into that place where I feel as socially isolated as I did when I was, like, 15 and, like, so uncool in high school.
But that's why, as adults, I think we gotta have crews. We gotta have a team.
Yeah, but, like, I agree. But then it's, like... It's almost like the fucking fact that happens, because it's like, you know, I know that if I had a TV credit, those people would be nicer to me, and I know that that's fake, but also it would be nice for people to be nice to me. You know?
Yeah, but
I mean?
I think people don't have time for that shit, man. I remember like people starting to talk. Like I remember specifically three comedians who would ignore me every time I said hi to an open mic.
Yeah.
And then the second I started getting shit, now they're like asking me for
spots.
That's
always how it
right?
is.
And, but I
That's
think,
always
but,
how
but
it
I think
is.
It's an approval of like, I see you. You are working hard.
But
you are part of this
but
community.
But here's the thing. The reason why I said you're great.
Yeah.
Is because it should be about you. It shouldn't be about what someone else does.
I agree 100%. I think you have a really healthy self-esteem is what I'm picking
it's
up
not,
on,
Mike. It's just like, we're all gonna die.
Here's the thing.
Who
like,
cares?
You're
we're
married,
all, we're
you're
all
normal.
Trash.
I'll tell you what, I'm single, I'm fucking alone, I'm struggling every day with my career. It's like,
I feel you.
I feel like I don't have that. I will say I think I became that guy where it's like, I shifted my life too much to be all about comedy every second. Like I was like optimizing because I had that immigrant work ethic where I was like, I need to succeed.
Optimizing. Optimizing.
And now it's like too much. I don't have fucking,
optimizing.
I think I'm like, at that point where it's like, I need to reinvest in my personal life and take the pressure off of my career, but then I'm still worried about my career.
Of course,
yeah.
It's just fucking, I'm like in this weird place. Yeah. It's a liminal space. Y'all heard of that word?
I don't know that word.
Y'all heard? Okay, here, I'll tell you, Femi, because I just read about it and it really makes sense.
What
it's that space in between. One phase ends, the next phase has not yet begun. It's liminal. It's like when you're in a hotel hallway and it's at night, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, it's at night. And you know, normally during the day, you see people in the hallway. At night, you're walking back to your room, you're by yourself, it's dark, it feels like a ghost town. You know that creepy feeling you get inside?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, it's weird. I'm like lonely and it's creepy. That's how I feel in my fucking career and my life right now.
Where you're kind of like...
Even being singles
waiting,
like that.
Yeah,
because it's like dating is like, you know, you're like in between. Like, you don't know.
What you brought out your journal in particular.
Yeah.
Is there something in here you wanted to really read? Because I feel there was like something you were like reviewing some notes and stuff like that.
I actually watched a video and then I like looked at it. Okay, well, what I wrote down...
Gosh.
Okay, like don't read it
No, I'm just saying. There's like, it's like wall to wall.
Yeah, I like to really fill it up. Okay, so... I mean, yeah, I just wanted to talk about how I think it's interesting to, here is some stuff I was talking about. So I was reading about Tony Woods.
Who the fuck is Tony Woods?
All right. So
is Tiger Woods' son?
No. Okay. So Tony Woods is this comedian, stand-up comic in D.C., right? Kind of like a legend to like D.C. And he sort of like mentored or something, or like took Dave Chappelle under his wing when Dave Chappelle was coming up. And the article is about how like attributing like a lot of kind of where Dave Chappelle gets that, not that they have the same thing or not that he copied him, but like almost like heavily influenced.
Sure.
Dave Chappelle is heavily influenced by Tony Woods.
Yeah.
And the fact that Dave Chappelle is now this like megastar who just got that Mark Twain Award,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like he is a legend in our in the large cultural narrative of comedy.
He's
like
a giant.
He's a giant. Mm-hmm. But then Tony Woods is this dude who like he influenced Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
He is like all these comics from DC cite him as this like incredible inspiration
and source
of how to fucking do comedy right. And his thing is all like talk about live, the art of live comedy. Like the whole thing was about how like you can, I don't even know if you can find videos of the guy online. It's like his whole thing is like, he's so fucking good live and audience, and like he'll do long ass sets, like 90 minute sets, and like the audience is so into it.
No one
wants to leave. Like, and that dude's not famous,
right?
And I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he makes money off doing stand
up. He's still alive.
He's still in DC, and like it's just one of those things. Like he never popped off.
Yeah, but are you surprised?
Why? What does that mean?
Because you it's a business. You have to worry about that. You have to. That's a separate thing. You can't just be funny. It's like you can't just be good at math.
I hate that.
Yeah, but that's just how the world works.
Mm.
I'll tell you what, I've struggled with that. I really struggled with that.
But if you can't get past that, which I know a lot of comedians can't, then like I don't even know what to say to you because that's just what working means.
Although I will say that in some ways Tony, I mean, I don't know how he thinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like his life is awesome. I mean, that.
Yeah, because he just does comedy. He does,
that's a beautiful life.
I know, but is he unhappy in the article?
I don't know.
Is he bitter? Because if he's happy, then that's cool.
They didn't talk about that. It was more about the fact that he did not blow up while people that like came up like under him did. But like, I don't know how he feels about it. They didn't talk about it. But like, okay, I agree it is a business. And I'm willing to do the business shit. But what I think really eats away at me at night and shit is like, it should be more about being funny than about being business savvy.
Yeah. So
and it's not. But
that used to be in those old European days with the fucking patrons, right? You get hired by a rich family to paint something for 9 months and you get paid. It's not like that anymore, you know?
Well, I mean,
we need more rich patrons to hire us.
Well, we do have Patreon. So
Patreon, yeah.
Donate, patreon.com/patreon. I feel like it's a nice thing sometimes to like only have to do open mics. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's a good phase.
But you don't realize it's good. You don't realize it's good.
Because your only goal at that point is to just get booked on shows.
Right.
And then when you get booked on shows, you're like, amazing.
Yeah.
But that's what I was talking about. It's like, now that I'm doing shows, it's like,
Now you're looking forward to the next thing.
Yeah, and then the future is uncertain. I mean,
Maybe I'm kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. I feel like
that sounds like a very selfish way of looking at comedy.
What do you mean?
Because how is anyone going to make money from that nice feeling? People have to feed their families. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean by that nice
feeling? Like the nice feeling of like, I'm just going to mics and trying to be funny, get booked.
Well, I don't think I'm not saying that the feeling should be like the monetary exchange for your career. But I think it's more like, I wish that there was more merit and integrity. I mean, dude, we just have to be honest. There's not that much integrity in show business.
But there's not integrity in any business.
I guess there's no
integrity anywhere, which is the most heartbreaking thing for me.
Yeah. The I think when I first started, I was like, oh, what's cool about stand-up is that it's about merit. Right,
yeah.
Like you're good, you get better.
We thought that when we first started.
And in a way, it can be at a show. Like if you're funny, you do well. If you're not funny, you don't do.
It feels great. But like you realize that like that quickly becomes divorced from success.
Yeah.
Somebody was saying that. I think you were telling me about it. Somebody was saying like, you know, ideally you're funny and famous, but if you can only do one, just be famous.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Because
that's what I'm talking about.
Because
that's what it is. That's the economy we live in.
That's why the bagel guy can get like a stand-up set going on. You know,
oh, the bagel guy who talks about
the bagel guy's touring.
Oh God, you're right.
Now you know he's not good at comedy, but hey, he's touring.
He's about to get like a half hour of Comedy Central.
Ronnie Chang had a joke about that. He was saying he was doing an act out of Dr. Gao, the Asian guy who didn't get off the plane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
How that guy can just tour now.
That's so funny.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, in an attention economy, right, it pays more to be famous than to be good at a craft or a craftsman.
But like,
and I think that's, well, just real quick, I think it circles back to a capitalist system that prioritizes greed and and the commodification of an individual and a self over craft. And I think that does ultimately relate back to inequality.
Do you ever think that like in 10 years or whatever, when we're all successful, that we'll look that we'll look back and at this time and be like, man, it was so much easier back then?
Some guy said more money, more problems.
That's true.
I don't remember who said it. Somebody said it.
I'm sure we're gonna.
I don't know which guy said it.
I think I'm already Biggie Smalls, baby.
I don't know who said it. But
okay, listen.
Said it.
I think that I already feel that happening, like, mm-hmm. or just even more success, more problems, or whatever. And it's like, I'm trying to fucking get ahead of it. Like, I'm trying to find a way to be mentally okay so that if I continue down this career, I don't fucking spin out and then like pull a Britney Spears, shave my head, and then like, you know.
Do you have more good days than bad days, would you say?
Because
I always ask, like, I always say, like, you know, any from moment to moment, nothing is guaranteed for
right.
us.
Right. Mm.
So, like, if you're having,
you're always thinking about dying, Mike.
I'm always thinking about dying.
Yeah, I'm thinking about
dying.
That's why
you live such like a weird life.
What do you mean?
Like, you really live every day like you're dying, I feel like.
Because you're only guaranteed, you know, I could have an aneurysm right now.
I know.
But like, would I be okay with that?
Oh boy, would that episode go viral.
Man.
Again, optimization.
Right? No, that'd be great.
It's coming.
But I'm Mike's death on the air. Money over everything.
So if you want to hear what the rest of his gurgling sounds like,
Patreon.com/AsianOnAsianPod.
Yeah, Fumi's capitalizing the shit out of it. He goes on tour. Mike died on my podcast.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we are going to give a quick shout out to our Patreon subscribers. Check us out at patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod, where you can sign up for different rewards depending on how much you donate to the show. These rewards include shout outs on the podcast, we slide into your DMs, and you can pitch stories to us.
Yay!
And the money is very helpful in like booking guests and buying food because we're hungry.
We're very hungry. I eat all the time.
I know, it's great. We buy snacks for guests. That's what this is. Okay, here we go. Chloe Lee.
Korean.
Chloe is a Korean name.
You just had to say Chloe.
Yeah.
Chloe's Korean.
Amy Yang. That's Taiwanese, bro.
That's a Taiwanese name.
We got Eric Woods.
Woods?
Woods.
Woods.
Woods. Just Woods.
Just Woods.
Eric like a British Woods. Guy, yeah.
Woods, yeah.
You know what? I sent him a DM because he donated $10, so I had to give him a DM. And he looked not Asian. I think he's just like a...
What?
Just a regular...
Our first... Well, we've had a couple of non-Asian Patreon subscribers. Yeah. But hey, okay, where are people from Woods from? I'm going to say
UK.
Irish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. I mean, it's in English, so...
It is in English.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, thanks, man. Shouts to Ireland. Actually, E-A-R-K.
E-A-E-R-I-K,
Eric. Not E-R-I-C.
That just means he's a millennial, though.
Okay, that's fine. Claudia May. MEI. I think it's Chinese.
MEI.
I think it's Hong Kongese, actually.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to say Fujianese.
Chandra. Oh, I thought this last name was Bento. It's actually Benito. Very different.
Bento.
It's like Chandra Bento.
Bento. Huh. Right, a little on the nose. Yeah. But, Benito.
That's Filipino.
Filipino. Hey. And, Filipino.
Natalie De La Cruz.
That's double Filipino. That's the Filipino.
This is so racist.
Jollibee.
I love it.
I can't do that. That's the accent I can't
Eric
do.
Chen. I think that's my friend.
Is it Eric Chen? Oh, come on. There's like 1,000 Eric Chen.
Yeah, you're right. He's not my friend.
Like, even inside of the studio, there's like 4.
You're right. So, they're just hiding.
Yeah,
they're just you've like, unlocked. Hey, Eric Chen.
Fuck another Eric Chen.
Under the chair.
That's Taiwanese. That's a Taiwanese name.
And then last, we got Lee Lan.
L-A-N?
Yeah.
Lee, L, what's the first name?
Lee, L-E-E.
L-E-E Lan.
Yeah.
Lee Lan.
But that first L-E-E, Lee as a first name could be like a white first name, like an American, a European.
Nah,
first
because
name.
If it's like Lee, then it's like L-E-I-G-H.
No, I have a friend named Lee. Like Lee really? Grimes, Jewish guy. L-E-E.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to say this is a Jewish guy. This is a Jewish guy.
Just a Jewish guy?
Lan? Jewish guy.
Lan?
Yeah, it's short for...
From Tel Aviv.
Landmeister.
Landmeister. Okay.
Changed it.
Hey, thank you. Shout out to all the Jewish fans we have out there.
Yeah.
And if you want to get a shout out on this podcast, check us out at patreon.com/asian.asianpod to get your own shout out. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, we're back with everybody's favorite segment. It is Das Race News.
Das Race News.
This week... we got this fucking article here. It's called headline reads, in this Facebook group, South Asians are being told they're not Asian.
Oh.
Ooh, how do you feel about that? Ooh. I'm going to summarize
Maybe
it.
Maybe you're not Asian, though, because you are from the South, and you're like, as you said, you're like an anarchist.
Oh, but you're going to get a lot of hate for just saying that, Mike.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, you want me to
wait,
respond?
Can I sum up this
Fumi
article?
Wants to sum
well,
it
everybody
up.
Knows what
Fumi
the fuck
wants
you're
to sum
about.
It up.
Okay.
Well, you know, our listeners don't always...
they're stupid.
No, they don't. They may not have read this article.
Yeah, they're busy.
There's that fucking Facebook group called Subtle Asian Traits.
Is that still going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I unsubscribed a long time ago. Okay. Actually, I did it last week and Tara told me to.
Is it bad now or something?
I don't know.
It got canceled?
It just got lame, so I unsubscribed. Right. But anyways, you know, it was supposed to be like a safe space for Asians, and then like somebody made a joke, or like some brown woman, a Bangladeshi American woman, Audrey Barikdar, shared a screenshot of an earlier common thread in the group. In the thread, one person told another that they're not Asian because they're brown. Quote, come on, dude, you're not... Oh, come on, dude, you're brown, one person says. Don't give me that India is an Asia shit. You know in your heart of hearts when people say Asian, that's not totally what they mean, LOL. And she shared the screenshot.
Is that a comedian?
People.
That's hilarious.
LOL. So it went viral, all this stuff. This person wrote a whole article on it. And now people are upset.
That girl's about to go on tour.
I just, dude, I fucking hate. You know what it is? I don't.
Fame
you
over really funny. No. Fame over funny. I'm getting that tattooed
exactly
on my asshole tonight.
What you just said right there is my problem with this whole article, is because somebody posted that comment, which I don't agree with. But then the person who wrote the article wrote, she interpreted this as, the message was clear. If your skin is darker, you're not welcome to identify as Asian. I don't think that that's what that guy meant, but the way she worded it,
that is
it's
like
clickbaity.
It is clickbaity. I agree. Okay, I'll say this. I actually have a joke in my stand-up set about already about this, because this has already happened to me. Like, you know, like I'm brown, but I'm like South Asian, so I've gotten booked on like Asian shows. Like
I did your show.
I did like Asian, the other Asian show.
Yeah.
Like, and I like doing the Asian shows, and I like being with other I like being around Asian people because it's like we can relate on a certain level, but then also there's like differences. It's like cool. But yeah, it's like, I think I'm aware that when people say Asian in America, this is like part of my joke, is like they're saying East Asian, not South Asian.
Do you have a problem
Asian
with that?
Honestly.
Two-part question. That also, I was talking to Usama, and it seemed like he doesn't even want to be called Asian. He prefers like Desi.
Daisy,
sorry. So like, there's that. That's a two part question.
Yeah, Osama's
like your...
hella brown, dude.
Yeah,
he's so brown. He doesn't even like to be around people that aren't brown. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Osama like cancels me immediately. Okay. Honestly, it doesn't really bother me, and I don't mind being called Asian. I kind of like it because it sort of feels like this broad label where, you know, like I'm from Pakistan. Like that's a very specific subset of the South Asian community.
For sure. Yeah.
And it's not even if you can say you're Indian, it's almost like easier. But to say you're from Pakistan, it's like, to me, that's how I feel, because Pakistan is almost like a loaded term right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they found fucking Osama bin Laden there, and it's like,
that'll do it.
And like, dude, it's like the whole country. I mean, honestly, if you even look at the history of Pakistan, it's like the whole country was radicalized in this extreme version of Islam that didn't need to happen, and that's another form of oppression. And economically, the country's suffering, and that's why my family like immigrated.
Right.
And I still have a lot of family there, and it just feels like completely unfair. And like compared to India, it's doing worse, you know, economically and societally. And like it's just difficult to even like, I don't know. And then sometimes it's like even saying Pakistan, like on the news, they say Pakistan.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
even
yeah.
when I say Pakistan, people are like, oh, you're talking with an accent right now. It's like, it's just like, it would be so easy to just say I'm Asian.
Yeah.
Like I could avoid oh. so much shit. But then also that's almost like that whole concept of assimilation that happens right, in this country anyways. Because it's like, it is easier if you just sound and look and talk like everyone so that they don't ask you why you're different.
Yeah.
There was an interesting thing about this article about how it's like different by region. So like if you say Asian in the UK,
in the UK they mean South
people Asian. People mean Indian because
yeah,
because
there's
there.
Like a lot of it's interesting, right? There's like a lot of South Asians in
there?
The UK.
Asian East Asians, then. Do you call them?
Oh, in the UK?
Yeah.
They say they specifically say like, are you Chinese or Japanese? Similar to here, if they ask you, are you Indian? Right.
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm like Indian.
You know what's interesting? This is such like a Asian like. Diaspora problem because like people in Asia would never I didn't know what the word Asia was until I moved here. Like we don't use that word in Japan because we would never be like, oh, like Korean culture is the same as Chinese. Like that thought doesn't even we're not taught like that.
Yeah.
We're like I knew about India. I lived in Singapore for a little bit, like same shit. Like we're just taught that like this is a country. So like a country might have a culture.
Right.
Maybe there's subcultures, but like it's just so interesting to be like, Asian people do this. I still don't even feel comfortable saying that because like
it is this weird thing. It's almost like it is still rooted in assimilation because it's easier for white people to say this is a group of people, they're called Asians, and not take into account that they're extremely different cultures.
Because they didn't have to do that with African Americans. They just said black because they took that identity away from them. That's why I think.
And it's like the colonizer mindset of like, let's make it easy for us to go ahead and group these people that are different instead of learning and celebrating diversity.
Right.
Which is celebrating diversity would lead to anarchy probably. Like I swear to God, it's another way to control us all.
I didn't know that this article put on blast Crazy Rich Asians. I didn't realize that was an issue because they're like,
oh yeah, because in because they only portray the East Asians that are living there.
I see, here's the thing, I don't know, that shit doesn't really personally bother me.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm clearly personally bothered by plenty of other shit, so maybe that's just the thing where I'm like, I don't feel like I have time to care.
It's like
I don't know. It's like, I like being with the Asians and I get to do the Asian shows and hang out with Asians. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that I used to try to work out this joke where I was like, oh yeah, Indian people, you know, South Asians are not Asian, blah, blah, blah. But then I kept thinking about it and I was like, there's that. Not really. I don't care. But like, I feel that actually that's not true because if we didn't have certain commonalities, then we wouldn't be able to like talk about it with each other because like, you know, like immigrating here from another country, we all want to be doctors.
Asian Americans have a lot
because
in common.
Here's the thing.
Asian Americans, especially with traditional values versus non-traditional values.
And it's interesting.
And it's funny because just real quick, when I sat down, I was like, oh, you know what it's like because we're Asian, remember?
Yeah,
I like already said that like six times.
I mean, but there is like a shared experience that we have that we understand. Because here's the funny thing is that like a lot of Asia is Russia. But Russians are not Asian. Okay, like Dimitri.
That's because they're white.
Yes, they're white. Dimitri is not trying to come up in here trying to be a doctor.
No.
He's trying to open up a club, you know, in Brooklyn.
Beautiful girls.
But it's also like that is a colonizer mindset. The white people, they're not Asian. The other people, they're Asian.
Exactly.
It's a colonizer's mindset.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun. Like once you really start to look at all the fucking ways that the system is used to oppress us. I absolutely fucking hate the system. Why would I not? Patriarchy's been around for 40,000 years.
Shouts.
You know, like. Racism has been around for longer. Capitalism's been around for a few hundred. It's like all of it is used to control people. And when you see that white men, like all the richest people that have the most are white men, and Jeffrey Epstein had to buy an island to go do dirty things on. It's like that should not be fucking allowed, but it is. And then we're out here struggling without healthcare, trying to become artists.
Right.
Like it's all fucked up. Immigrants are struggling worse than anyone.
Yeah.
Like immigrating to this country should not be so fucking difficult.
Yeah.
It's like we already stole this land from other people, and then you can't allow people to have a decent life.
I feel that if you keep blowing my mind, I'm going to wake up inside of the Matrix pod. So,
you know
what I'm saying? It's like, oh, these guys kind of know the facts now. Pull them out.
That's funny.
That's what I'm saying. It's
I'm
like
the guy who goes back and has that steak dinner.
Oh, yeah. put me back in.
Yeah, yeah.
I will sell out humanity.
But it's like hard because it's like, I know all this shit, then I'm like, man, I don't know like what to, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know what the solution is. And it's just like, almost like knowing more and more about what's frustrating. I'm just more and more frustrated. And I'll do my best. Like, I'll try to be politically active. I'll try to be like a good person. But it's like, I don't really know. Like,
that's why I think when you get older, like I remember like, if you had presented this earlier conversation to like our grandparents, they would probably stop listening like 5 minutes in, and they'd probably start cooking or whatever. And they're like,
they're gonna be like,
life is short. I don't know. I mean, you're a little bit older than us, Mike. Do you think that like, wow, everything you've said so far is true, and I think like it is a problem. And I recently watched this documentary on the Panama Papers, and it was like fucking wild that was going on. But at the same time, it's like, what I've observed is as you get older, you get less woke. Is what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't.
But Mike's pretty like aware.
No, I don't think I'm less woke. I do. I have. Like certain philosophies, like I do realize that an individual in general, like the individual, it shouldn't be on the impetus of changing the system shouldn't be on the individual, because we're just asking an individual to do something, which is like unfair. I think that change is very difficult and usually really, really violent. But I also have the sense that change happens all the time. I mean, the Arab Spring came out of nothing.
You know? And that came from social media.
And it came from social
media.
There's positives to social media
as well.
So, you know, like, you know, you know, it's always like all the basic shit you learn in preschool. You know, like, you know, try to be nice to each other.
But dude, it's like, how many times do we need to be reminded of that? You know, until people like, how many fucking expensive movies with Brad Pitt in space do we need until we finally learn the lesson that we are all we have, you know? But no one gives a shit because people just care about themselves.
And
I'll be at a show and I'll say hi and that person will fucking ignore me.
Jesus.
What a great way to end the show there. Please say hi to Faria when she says hi to you.
Please, I'm sensitive. Do you guys think I'm okay?
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening again. Our guest today was Faria Khan, the capitalist hater. Yes, she also does comedy, but she's mainly a capitalist hater.
Well, it's part of my comedy now.
Where can our listeners find you and your dangerous thoughts?
You can find me on the Devil's Platform, Instagram and Twitter, at Farizi, 4 E's.
Look at you still plugging.
I have a website, Faria-Khan. Come see my shows. Host of several shows around town. Star Wars every Monday at Kinfolk 90. Outcast sometimes at Union Hall.
Is that an ambush show, Kinfolk?
No, not ambush.
Oh, really?
I've done
shows there and it's been mad ambush.
Well, it depends. That might just be the vibe, but it's definitely not ambush.
Hell yeah. You can also follow us on there at Asian.AsianPod, and you can also find me on there at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro, and maybe even at one of Faria's shows, which you've been meaning to book me on.
Wow, there he is playing the system.
Mike's
going
to be on it. There we go. Playing the system.
Please come out to Hack City. It's every third Wednesday. Ticket links are in our Instagram bio link. I think the next one is almost sold out. We sold like 65 tickets already. So
no shit.
That's pretty good, right?
That's really good. You're talking about for
November 6th.
For the New York Comedy Festival.
Yeah, but the one after that's going to be December 11th. So come out to that. Again, check out Instagram for links. And if you are listening on iTunes, listen to it. Sorry, leave us a review. Faria, thank you so much for coming on and
waking us up.
Waking us up, even though I kept pressing the snooze button.
God damn it.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party. Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market.